Welcome to Opening Presents, the podcast about creative self-realization. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I sit down with Titi, a musician who at a very early age discovered her passion and has since dedicated her life to pursuing her dreams. In this conversation, we discuss how writing songs about love helps her process and move through difficult emotions. We also dive into how teaching others is an act of fortifying the commitment that we've made to ourselves. If you enjoy this episode, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, without further ado, welcome to Opening Presents. Welcome to Opening Presents. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining us today. Well, this is probably along the lines of why I created this podcast, this type of interview, because it's very spontaneous and things happen in life and you kind of just go with the flow with things. And I like being surprised because 5 days ago, I didn't know who you were outside of Instagram. And then we finally met. I'm sitting here with Titi, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So let me give like the story as to how Titi is here today. I got this amazing message that said, oh my gosh, like your podcast is amazing. From the other person in the room who goes by Jayla, who is Titi's guardian and snack mama.
Yes, angel manager.
Yeah, it does all the things. But Jayla reached out to me and said that she had listened to the podcast and was managing a beautiful artist named Titi and that they wanted to come on. And I was like, yo, okay, for sure, for sure. As this podcast is like an active form of exploration and catharsis, I just said yes. And I still don't even like know you. But for our listeners, could you just give us a little overview of who you are and what you're here to do in this world?
Yeah, I'm Titi. I am a Vietnamese-American singer, songwriter, producer. I consider myself a storyteller. I'm a music teacher, and I'm just here to make art and make connections with people. I think that's my calling.
That your calling is to make music. When did you discover this calling? Because I feel like most people, that's kind of like the tension of their life is, what is my calling? What am I here to do? And I think there's lucky people like yourself who discovered that at an early age and have been able to kind of grow into the art and learn how to express themselves, where I think for a lot of young people, it's like, how do you express emotions? But music is definitely a genre in which like you can express everything, like all the spectrum of emotions you're able to put out into the world instead of bottling them up. But yeah, when did music kind of find you?
My dad was a musician and my parents loved music. They loved watching live performances. And I think music was just always a very important presence in my life just from the beginning. So it's always just been there. And I think as I got older and started experiencing more intense emotions, I connected to music more because that's how I was like introduced to different feelings and ways to express feelings, all in this like really grand like production within like 3 minutes, you know, and it was always so satisfying to experience that.
Yeah. I think like in the world of like sound and arrangement and all that kind of stuff, like music is one of those like limitless mediums. Mm-hmm. Like even like painting is pretty limitless as well. But like the field of sound is like, I don't even know. I don't want to sound like, oh, spiritual Aaron, da, 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 da.
No,
but it's like the field of like vibration in dimensions. I feel like sound is the one that permeates and travels through all dimensions, like through heaven and hell. Like sound will reach both and can communicate both. But to have that like palette, like we have like meat and cheese on the table. Thank you, Jayla. Appreciate it. We got the olives and we have like this little medley. But it all like fits together and it all goes together really nicely. But when you have all the options in the world, like, I guess, like, how do you, this is pretty like deep, but like, how do you like select sounds and channel the emotions into sound? And like, what does that process start? Like, we'll go to all these different areas.
Yeah,
this
big
is just,
question.
Yeah, this is just where we just arrive and land.
How to decide?
Yeah, how to, like, based off of, like, an experience, does something happen in life and does that draw you to certain chords and keys?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think because music became more important to me as I was learning how to express emotions, when I started writing songs, I was, like, 13, 12 or 13, and that's, like, when emotions are really heightened, right? Because, like, a bad day is, like, the end of the world, you know? So I was always drawn to music that was really dramatic. So when I was taking music lessons, I learned about how to like build chords that felt, that it matched my mood. So I think it just started there with just like piano sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, as I learned about different artists and different genres, it became really hard to pick, and it's still hard to pick because I like all of the sounds and all music, so.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of your earliest inspirations? Like, who's like the Mount Rushmore of TT's fandom?
So four figures. There are four figures of Mount Rushmore, right?
I think so.
Three or four.
Yeah. No white guys allowed, though.
No white guys allowed. That's fair. There aren't any white guys on this list. I think Brandy was really a really big figure in my life. She was like the Cinderella to me. I wasn't introduced to the Disney, like the cartoon one. She was it for me. She was like the most beautiful person. So Brandy, Amy Winehouse really spoke to me as a teenager. Lauryn Hill, and if I could pick a fourth one, I really like India Ari. She just has like a very calming and like wisdom to her.
Yeah, I'm like, please be my aunt.
Yes.
Like, please be my auntie.
Yes. Or like school counselor or something.
Yeah, something. Just be like, be in my life, like in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about Erykah Badu as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I honestly, like, admittedly, like, I'm not the biggest music historian. Like, music finds me when it finds me, and I'm like, oh, that's it right there. It's like, I expressed this in one of my last podcasts, but it's like, certain rap songs like Biggie and Tupac and all that kind of stuff, it's like, I don't know them like I should, but music definitely has a way of like, I don't know, meeting you where you are when you need it the most. But yeah, those figures, like, I just want to kick it with Erykah all day and like learn. She's like, she could be my uncle, if that makes sense. But
I like that there is this duality to her where she's very like peaceful and introspective, but will also talk a lot of shit. I think people like that are my favorite types of people.
Most
definitely.
Because
I think it really encompasses the human spirit.
Most definitely. I'm learning to talk more shit.
Good.
Lately.
I'm as
just
you
like,
should.
I'm like, you know what? Like, he meditates and blah, blah. I'm just like, nah, but I got it though.
Yeah. You need both.
Yeah. What were some of the, like, your first songs about? Because you said that you channeled, like, emotions, like, sad girl vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God, Johnny, like, you didn't...
he didn't love me back.
Yeah.
Yes. it was always, I think, songs about heartbreak and songs about how I felt inadequate. That was always a place for me to talk about that because that was like the only place I could talk about it. So it was very angsty, sad girl stuff for a long time.
Yeah. I guess this is the point where I say that I used to make music as well. And that's exactly like the realm that I was in.
Yeah.
It was just like, these girls don't understand me. Mm-hmm. And I'm this like gifted intellectual. And oh my God. Like, but exploring mediums, like I went to college and like once I discovered that there was like a music studio there, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I got to go into this space because I'd already done drawing, I've already mm-hmm. done painting and videos. And then
I didn't know you did all these things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. Cool. Yeah. Like, I explore like every single medium, and like music all through high school or all through college was like that. Like I did so much music classes that I like skipped out on all of like my like mandatory like classes that I needed to like recoup, and I had to take like an extra semester
oh, wow.
of college just because I decided to take every single class that gave me access to like this $300,000 like studio. So learning how to engineer myself, like writing and all that kind of stuff. I didn't know how to like play any instruments, but I would just like rap and sing and all that kind of stuff. But similarly, like just to be able to like look out into the world and feel the pain of others. And most of it is like my own. I was just like a sponge, just taking mm-hmm. in all the other emotions and the people around me and trying to fit in. Like I was in a fraternity and had a horrible time. It was
wow.
just like, who the hell was I? Like, I mm-hmm. didn't know who I was. And music for me was like the one way where I can just say like definitively, in this moment, this is how I feel. This is how I relate to the world. And a lot of it was angry. A mm-hmm. lot of it was like shit talking. A lot of it was sad. And but in the journey of like finding oneself, like I feel like it is one of the purest mediums to where it's like, yeah, you can learn so much about it. That's how I feel about this podcast too. It's just like figuring out as we go along and seeing incremental progress over time is something that I think if we largely like embrace that as a whole, like, hey, like I'm not here to get it perfect. It would be nice if I stumbled upon perfect once in a while, and that is inspiring, but the opportunity to keep coming back to it and seeing where our inspiration takes us is a process that I feel like I'm like addicted to. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, can we just like see that we got better and just commit ourselves to growth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think music is so empowering. And that's why I love being a music teacher, is because I get to help guide young people and older people, to feel like they have a sense of belonging in the mm-hmm. world. And music always offers a voice for people, especially if you're singing or rapping, you know, it's a place for you to be heard, even if it's like you're just listening to yourself, you know, it's giving you that platform and that space to be like, I have something to say
mm-hmm.
and it's important.
Yeah, most definitely. What kind of, this is like all over the place, but
no,
what kind of music did your dad play?
He played a lot of Vietnamese music.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the Vietnamese music that I heard was kind of like folky, but also influenced by jazz. And my parents would watch these Vietnamese variety shows. And they were like big productions, like anyone in the Vietnamese community would know them. And they would just, there would be like these huge concerts that they would film. And a lot of them would be covers of like jazz standards and classics, or like even American classics. And so I think he would just play whatever was kind of popular. Mm-hmm. He played saxophone and guitar, and he would sing. So, but I didn't really learn or discover my favorite artists from my parents, I think, because I grew up in the era of like YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And like on demand on Comcast, they would like have music videos and stuff, and you could go through like genres. So my sister and I would be at home a lot, and I would always be finding different artists that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mom wanted me to play saxophone.
Oh,
like that was like, I never learned.
It's a hard instrument.
Yeah, it was always just like that was like the pinnacle of presence and just sexiness
mm-hmm.
is saxophone. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know how to play saxophone, like you're commanding all of the attention.
Yeah, just the instrument itself is beautiful, but then its tone is gorgeous. And I think sexy is a very the word to describe the saxophone. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you like teaching? Like, how did you fall into that? Is it something that you always sought out to do? Because most like musicians, at least the ones that I know, it's like, it's just like their craft. But to kind of like put a pause on your things and give all your attention, do you feel like it makes you a better artist? Or are you learning, or do you find the fulfillment in guiding other people's journey?
I think it absolutely makes me a better artist. I think it makes me a better person too. I kind of got into teaching I really fell into it. I was 16 when I started teaching. I saw a flyer on the side of our like neighborhood mailbox. I was like looking for a piano teacher. And I was like, I was always like, I was working very early and always looking for jobs and like side hustles. So I was like, I could do this. I could get piano books. I could teach a 6-year-old how to play. So I met the family and it was a great orientation. And then I just started from there. And I actually still teach that family now.
Wow.
Yeah. 9 years later. So she was 6 and she just turned 15.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And it's not something that the parents like forced upon the kid. It was just like they just gravitated towards it. And damn, that's something that I feel like should take the place of just public education in general. It's like, what is the kid, what does the young person gravitate towards? And like, how can we invest in this one thing over time? Not to say like, just neglect all these other places, but think of how many things that we even carry from grade school to high school to college, and you don't remember anything. But to gravitate towards something in a genuine manner and identify that, because it's like, I think early on, like parents don't put enough emphasis on the thing that kids naturally go for. Like, how many young boys are playing tackle football when like all they want to do is draw comics, and it's like, no, you better play like, or else like, and it's just like, you learn very early to stuff down, like hide in the corner, like the things that you're most passionate about. And I think that's partially like one of the things that you see collectively, like when you see just a lot of dissatisfaction with life, is a lot has to do with not leaning into the things that we naturally, we have like a shame and guilt wrapped around things that bring us joy or pleasure in general. And we don't know how to get back to the things that just make us happy, even if they're simple, like simple little things, just to be like, yes, I allow myself to do this one thing because I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah. That, I think that feeling is especially pertinent as like a young adult too, like wanting to pursue something that you're passionate about, but feeling all this guilt when you do, even if it's something that like makes you money. Sometimes I'm like, wow, I like music. My whole day is music now. My whole week is music now. And sometimes I think about it, I'm like, shoot. And I still feel tired. Sometimes I get frustrated with it, and I like feel guilty for pursuing something that I love. But it is weird that there's like this rooted, it seems like universal feeling of guilt for doing something that you love and like making money for something that you love too.
Yeah, that's something that I guess like along the journey, it's like at least you have access to work through it, because you know that like the guilt is not like the truth of the matter. It's like, how do you change the guilt into like gratitude in the moments of tension within it? It's like, I feel like the same thing. It's like, oh, I should be like on LinkedIn trying to like get into an agency or whatever. And like, there's still parts of me that I'm like, oh, I should like bite the bullet. And I'm just like, wait, no, like there's still things, there's still so much in front of me that is yet to be touched. And what are the access points to the creative process again? I've been in like hermit mode, trying to figure out like, what are like the initiating factors to like begin to get the momentum again into a new song or into a new project. And for me, I realized, and I need to write it on my whiteboard before I like forget about it, but for me, it was just reaching out, because it was like I've been kind of holding back a little bit and realizing that it's like everything I want is out there. I just have to close the distance and be the one to initiate it. I got to press that first domino and then just watch it go instead of like hanging back and wishing that I was the last domino waiting for someone on the other end to tap it for me to finally get into action. It's like, no, it's like all of the like powers in your hands at all times, and realizing it's like, okay, when I'm stuck, I have to just send a text. When I'm stuck, I have to send an email. When I'm stuck, I have to reach out, just like Jayla did for me. Like, oh, like I really like this thing. Like, let's meet up and da 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 da, and just mm-hmm. see what happens. Being open to see what happens, and not have any sort of like expectation, because most of the time you'll be pleasantly surprised and get charcuterie delivered to your living room. So yeah, for that I want to thank you both for like having initiative, and then it's like you're creating experiences in the future from like a seemingly stagnant place, and then it's like, oh, I just created this whole, like, y'all co-created this like weeks ago, and then we're standing here now, and it's like, ooh, that's how manifestation works, is mm-hmm. is action, and then
it's action
plus intention, and then just mm-hmm. sending a fucking Google Calendar invite, and then it's like you're entering a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking about a whole new world, what kind of world are you creating with La Musica de Titi?
It's a world that is safe for people to be their authentic selves. Something that's been really cool about like viewing like the demographics that are listening to my music or seeing people who show up for my shows is how different everyone is on like a, just like a physical stance, you know? And I love that. I love that about doing music. And I think the world is just, or the world that I'm trying to create for my music and my listeners is a world where all feelings are accepted and all feelings can be discussed. I don't really shy away from any themes, I think, when I'm writing. So it's really open place.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. What does your notes section in your phone look like?
Oh my, it is some poetry, a lot of grocery lists, a lot of that, and like random ideas. Yeah, it's crazy in there. You don't want to see it.
Kind of do, but yeah, we'll save that for another time. Yeah, it is interesting. Like you say, like when you see people in the flesh, like that support you, it almost seems like how could anyone support me?
Yeah.
Like type of thing. And
yeah,
like you've probably experienced that feeling, and you alluded to that earlier, but then to see like someone really connecting to it and kind of like are like still doubting it, like they're mm-hmm. telling you right to your face mm-hmm. by showing up and supporting, and you're still like, you're lying, like who paid y'all to show up here?
Yeah.
And to like finally like accept it, and it's almost, it's validating, but it's like, yeah, it's we're almost like the last person to show up to the party,
mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
and just like, yo, like other people believe in you. It's like, why would you stop doing this thing that
yeah.
that is obviously like connecting? I don't know. That process is just like ongoing, and it's one of those things that I hope to like inspire other people to do as well, because there is no manual to it. Like you're going along this journey, and you're like blessed to have people like Jayla in your life that can see the vision as well, because oftentimes it's to get buy-in from other people that it's on a genuine level that can help you with things that maybe aren't the things that you feel like doing or that you're the best at or whatever, is a beautiful thing. But to show other people that it's like, yo, like there's no set way mm-hmm. to do anything. Whatever your like intention is or what your end goal is, it's like, yeah, Adele did it her way. I have my own way to go about it. And for you to like own ownership of that, of the way, I feel like is how people set themselves apart as artists, mm-hmm. is by embracing like the nuance or the human qualities. I think once we say yes to that, I feel like everything becomes so much easier when you're just like, oh, I love this thing that sets me apart.
Yeah, everyone has their unique path. And I also am learning to embrace that more and entrusting that as time passes, I'm not losing time. I think I used to think about or view it that way a lot. And now I view it as like the older I get, the more time that passes, the closer I am to mm-hmm. what I'm trying to reach or fulfill. Yeah.
And there's just like, you just don't know what's going to hit people at certain places, like at all, like especially with the internet and just releasing music. And the worst thing anyone can do is just withhold from the ecosystem, withholding your voice from the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still struggle with that portion of it, of like withholding and not releasing things?
I sometimes feel like I should be more careful or intentional with what I'm releasing. Because if it were up to me, I'd release everything. And it would be like an unorganized library of my music. But I think that's just kind of how I like to consume art sometimes, is like seeing like the rougher demos of things and like the skeletons of ideas and stuff. So I think I might have like the opposite problem. But as I'm trying to become more mindful and intentional and like deliberate with what I'm releasing, it's like a whole different like anxiety that has creeped up on me. Like, is this good enough for me to release now? Is this the right time? But I think it's making me better and smarter in a different way than before.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. How does your identity influence your music?
Good question. Big question. I think it used to not, at least the influence wasn't very clear to me, because I would write a lot of songs about love and not so much about like my identity culturally or like how I feel in this world. And as I get older, I realize that those feelings of like isolation or like misunderstanding is kind of rooted in my identity. So it's been a journey in itself, like learning to embrace my identity and also understanding like the limitations of only introducing myself as that.
On that note, it's like, that's what like the culture that we live in now, like expects now. It's like, it's Vietnamese artist. It's like, that's kind of like baked into the consumption pattern, because it's just like, oh, let's just put it out front to kind of lead the way instead of allowing the music to lead the way. It's like the marketing and all that kind of stuff, which is interesting. What does love feel like to you?
As an Aries? Big question. In the past, love to me has felt like passion and excitement and like a whirlwind. But I don't want that anymore.
I feel like the same, like similarly, like suffocating. That's not love. That's something else. That's called trauma.
Yeah.
And you just like painting over it, and it's just like, yo, that's like a rose wound. Colored glasses. That's a that's a fucking wound that like you need to address. Yeah. Like whenever I think of love, I'm just like that lump in my chest, and I'm just like, yo, that's,
oh God,
that doesn't feel good.
Oh God, that doesn't sound good.
I'm like, no, that's not it. And I think like as I've gotten older and realizing it's like it's a relaxed feeling.
Yeah.
It's like even in instances where, like when you all got here, I was talking to a dude who was chilling in his car. He was an Uber Eats delivery driver. He was playing his music. I was like riding on my porch, and I just like, oh, like you going on a date? And he decided to tell me his whole story. And I walked over and like I listened like intently, and him just telling me like all the stuff that he's going through and all this kind of stuff. And he was crying. Like he was crying. Like he just met me, and I don't even know how it happened, but like in that moment, like sharing that space, there was love present and there was non-judgmental. But it's easy to access when there's no like romance, like attached to it. There's like a trauma that in my past that probably has kind of change the meaning of what love is. But when I experience love in that sense, I'm like, yo, that's love right there. How do you recreate it in this other arena?
You know,
the feelings, because it's like they all come back, and they are intense at some points and then they're subtle at other points.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell like where they came from, and it's interesting to navigate.
It's also life. Interesting how it like transforms too.
Mm-hmm.
Like based on what you're focusing on as you grow. And I think love is one of those things that will always be changing. Like the vision of love will always be changing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if I were to like project, it's like love has to be expansive.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't constrict, it expands. And
mm-hmm.
whenever any situation comes about, it's like, is this a limiting, constricting experience, or mm-hmm. is this an expanding experience? Is this going to call me to center stage to sing my song?
Mm.
Or is this like energy feel like I'm going into the dungeon and like painting all the walls black and not expressing
God.
Myself? Not expressing. Nah, I'm not even morbid. I'm just like, I'm trying to paint the picture of like, of silencing self and, mm-hmm. and expressing your truth is like an act of rebellion in a world that's saying like, be quiet, don't release your song.
Mm.
Like go to the office building and sign up for the 401k package at this department. It's mm-hmm. not saying like write your song and record it and give it to the world and hopefully somebody grabs it and is impacted by it, so then they're inspired to do the same thing. What's on the current playlist?
Ooh. Well, Kendrick's album just dropped. So
yeah,
that's been on for the last few days. Very emotional. Such a trip. I loved it. So I love listening to full albums. So when artists do release a full project, that's all I'll listen to mm-hmm. for a while. What else? I've been listening to Duckworth's album from 2020. It like never came across my radar back then, but it's been nice to listen to when on those sunny days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been also listening to Mariah Carey again.
Okay.
Randomly, and like I was driving through the car, just like threw on a Mariah Carey playlist, and Touch My Body came on, and that song came out when I was like in sixth grade, and I don't know like what came over me when I was in the car, but I knew every single line, note, ad lib. And I was like, oh shit, like this is like deeply ingrained in mm-hmm. me. But yeah, Mariah Carey for some reason has been on the rotation.
Nice. I'm definitely like in a space of needing new musical inputs, because as we go through life, like certain songs like play a different role.
Yeah.
And then like you'll put together a playlist that like is you on like a cellular level, like psychosomatic cellularly I am expressing myself and living life through these like 10-12 songs. And I'm mm-hmm. just like right now I've just been playing London by Bia. Like,
oh,
it's so good. And it's like it's featuring J. Cole.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just like, oh, that's the gym song right now. But it's like, oh, yo, I need like 10 more of these songs that fit this.
Bia's the rapper, right?
Yeah, yeah. She's from London, but cool. It's like amazing song. It's basically like Cardi B's Bodak Yellow, but like better.
Mm, nice.
Like, yeah, Bodak Yellow was like, it was great and it fit its spot. This is just like a little bit more polished and,
cool.
and relaxed. But yeah, like searching for like the soundtrack to your life. And then it's like not finding it like too late. Like I want like the collection now so I can like live and like do my car karaoke songs. But yeah, they find you when you need them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think my playlists are so random because of how different I feel throughout the year, especially living in Portland. Like when it's dark and rainy, Radiohead is on repeat for like weeks. It's like really sad. like this really like heavy, just heavy music. I love Jeff Buckley too, so I'll like listen to some really sad shit.
I don't even know who that is.
Jeff Buckley.
Uh-uh.
You know Hallelujah.
Oh, Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But Leonard Cohen wrote that one. But Jeff Buckley did a really good famous cover of it. But you gotta listen to some Jeff Buckley.
Yeah. I should send it to me, please. Yeah. Like, I'm just not a music historian. Like, some people that me I neither. Know, it's like their whole, like I'm in some circles and I'm just like the history, and like they're able to like pull these references and stuff. I'm like, yo, I just like listen to like whatever as it comes. If I like it, I like it. But I don't know like where they grew up and like where they got their inspo from. But I definitely like commend people that are the historians of it, because it's like the story has to be, it obviously like impacted them in that sense. But then to, I don't know, to allow music to have that much of an impact on your life, I think is a really like cool thing, to be like using it as a tool to like shape shift us for these experiences to have, which I do, but not in like that connected of a sense.
Yeah. It's a very impressive skill, music historians, like learning, knowing people's like accolades and like when they won them against who and like what year. Yeah. I couldn't do that.
And then like when they draw like, oh, they're inspired by X, Y, and Z. I think just anyone from New York is a music historian. Mm. Like every person that I've met from New York, like just knows music. And I'm just like, I guess I'm half as cool as y'all.
How did you get into music?
I had a teacher named Bill Bradbury, who was just like the nicest, sweetest, most enthusiastic like music teacher. Mm. Like he was so freaking cool. And like he would listen to my stuff and like he would like smile, and like if I took a beat from like the internet, he's like, oh, what's that? And I'm like, oh, a beat that I got from the internet. And he'd be like, oh, like turn that down. And like he wanted to hear like my like recording quality, because we're using like a big like C24 mixer. That's like the only like technical thing I know. But just like learning how to record myself was, I guess it, like now thinking about it, it's like partially like how I got here today, because it was like engineering and doing all that stuff at home wasn't something that I thought was going to like lead me into podcasting. Mm-hmm. I had built this skill set over time, and then it kind of naturally led me into at least not having the fear to start like podcasting, because I had already like known how to edit myself and record myself. So it's an interesting process though, like saying something and then hearing it back is just like a, yeah, I mean what I said type of moment that you give yourself. And it's like, now I'm going to like share that with the world. Mm-hmm. Where have you seen the biggest growth in your life, and how did that growth come about?
The biggest growth in my life occurred between 2019 and 2021.
Pretty recent.
Very recent. I don't even know if I existed before this last year. I think I was on autopilot like my entire life until now.
Welcome.
Thank you. It was after leaving domestic violence and moving out to the city and just following, taking myself seriously in music and taking myself seriously as a person and understanding value in myself. That was the most pivotal time. Mm-hmm. Still is the most pivotal time.
Yeah. Is it like a gradual shift into self-love that you experienced, or was it a sudden kind of aha realization? Because I think that story will touch a lot of people.
It doesn't feel gradual. It feels like it comes in bursts, and sometimes it goes backwards, reverses a bit. It's a really tumultuous process. I think people, when people talk about trauma and like abuse and all these things, that is always like the ugliest part of it, which yes, in some ways, but I think the healing and recovering is even uglier, harder to go through. Mm-hmm. But finding friends, finding Jayla, and like learning that there are kind people and loving people who don't expect anything like transactional, you know, I think that is healing, and like finding true friendship is healing.
Yeah. It's like navigating like the uncertainty, and like, I haven't gone through the experiences that you've gone through, but just navigating uncertainty and not knowing like where is safe to step. Is this a stone, or is it lava, or is it another like hole? And that, like overcoming that and like the real danger, but then also like the danger that our minds will fabricate when we do have a level of strength that we have yet to like realize through our experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where did you find that strength in self when you were able to like look into the mirror and be like, oh, like I'm strong and I can support myself like emotionally? Like where's safety?
I think really understanding that other people rely on me sometimes. I don't think I understood that until I got older and until I became a teacher to many students and realized that I kind of have to practice what I preach and like, you know, in teaching and like guiding meditations, I'm sure too, where you're teaching people these skills that they've assumed that you've like refined, you know, but teachers are humans and still students as well. So finding grounding and like knowing that I have to be on, I have to be growing and better to be valued. I mean, not to say that you're not valued if you don't, right? But I think that was the most motivational thing, like knowing that other people and kids and even adults like rely on me to be here and to be growing and mindful. And yeah.
Yeah. That is like an awesome motivation, because it's like, oh, in order to be a successful teacher, you have to constantly be refining your skills and learning and growing. But it's like, you want that as well. Like when we want the same exact thing that the people that are expecting these things from us, our services, our talents, our energy, it's like, oh, great. I get to just invest in the thing that I was already investing my time into that I fucking love.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the greatest like relationship to have is that. It's just like, oh shit. Like I'm constantly like taking in new information. I'm constantly like seeking like the best quality people to surround myself with, and yeah, that's kind of like the hack right there, I feel like, is the part that like the secret sauce to it, to where when your process becomes almost like a prerequisite, like you have to do it in order to stay on the path. It's like, oh, learning and growing has to be the main thing. And it, I think a lot of people out there think it's like just this like one person against the world, and it's like, no, it's like there's a lot. Like I need people that are listening right now to be listening in order for me to broadcast a signal and for me to receive a signal back, whether that's listenership or a DM or whatever, just knowing that there's a place that it can rest and someone can marinate on what we're talking about. It's required. It's like, it's all an energy exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we talked. Thank you for sharing that. I know that, like, I like to create like a space where we can express these things, accepting like the truth for what it is and just seeing like our resilience in real time, because we're all fucking resilient and we've all like experienced a lot of things, but just to see that there is a path.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think sometimes we'd feel like there's no way out, even in like less like serious situations. Like, how am I going to get behind this debt? How am I going to get from behind this block? And then similar to what I was saying before, is just like required a like one step in the right direction, and that one step, no matter how small or large, it automatically shifts the perspective. Like the distant thing now became a little bit closer. You know.
Go ahead. Sometimes those steps retract too, but I think it's important to accept that that's a part of any process, is that nothing is linear. I think that's comforting.
I don't know, like humans have amnesia, like we forget that nothing is stagnant. It's like it's always shifting, it's always moving. And once we like fully embrace that it is moving, it's like, oh, it's not going to be the same thing as it was today as it is going to be tomorrow. And where can center be? Can I just find center and rest in center? Because if I can do that, I'm safe and I can regroup and go at it again. Yeah. What are you inspired to create these days?
I'm inspired to create music that makes me feel good. That I think because music has always been a place for me to kind of like dump all of my trauma and like sadness and negative feelings, that now that I'm performing more, I realized like I'm reliving these songs in rehearsals and at shows. And there have been a couple band practices where I just like start crying and I'm like, oh shit, I don't want to cry in front of my band, you know? But those were real stories and part of my real life. And I'm learning to rewrite the associations with that. So now that I'm at shows, I always thank my audience for helping me do that. Because now when I sing the songs, I think of people's faces or like if they're dancing or if they're engaged, it changes the entire meaning of the song for me. But for a while I was like, shoot, should I just not sing any of my old songs and like my sad songs because it makes me sad? But these days I'm trying to just like make music that makes me feel good in general so that I can kind of avoid having that problem in the future. So that's kind of my new goal. It's really hard. It's harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Time for a summertime album.
Yeah. 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 Something liberating, but comforting. That's still very human and real and still has like the things that are like lesser, not as beautiful, but are still very like big parts of our lives.
Mm-hmm. What does it feel like to perform?
Oh God, it's like terrifying and euphoric all at the same time. Do you get a performance high when you're doing your like guided meditations?
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, it's like, that's me like on, because it's just like, it's all impromptu, similar to this podcast. It's like, I don't go into anything with notes, but then for some miraculous way, I'm doing like a triple backflip. And then like at the end, like I land it, I'm like, oh shit. And then everyone's like, he did it on purpose. I'm like, actually this just happened. And like allowing our brilliance to shine in that moment is amazing.
Do you get nervous?
Yeah, but it's like when you know that that's like the highest calling in that moment, it's like, it's so easy to sit back and just observe. But like to be the person that everyone's paying attention to, it's like, fuck, why not? Just try it. Like if you fuck up, it's like, oh, I'm just like all y'all because y'all would have fucked up too.
That's a good way to think about it. Like, I'm gonna
how many
that.
Of y'all would have like done this in the first place? So like you can at least leave with that. At the very least, it's like I tried something that scared the shit out of me. That's always going to be a gratifying experience. Like, I kind of go through life now just like with the mantra. It's like I'm just constantly trying to push myself off the ledge. It's like, where's like the fear? It's like, all right. There's definitely places where it's like I've been avoiding the edge. And it's like, all right, those are the growth places. But now with like friends and people that are kind enough to share their visions or their ideas and stuff, they're almost like, everyone's kind of just looking for like that like support or validation. And I'm just like, go. Like some people are asking for it. They're just like, I'm on the edge. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I like, hopefully no one pushes me, but they really want to get pushed off the ledge.
This is me.
where there's no excuse. You have zero excuses anymore. It's like, I box them out. Like, it's like, oh, but I can't do this. I'm like, nope, that door's closed. The only way to go is forward. And then you find out that you can fly. And then that's like the ultimate liberation for you and everybody else that wants to see you fly.
I'm that person that you described.
Yeah, well, that's 100%. Why Jayla's here.
Yeah. I'm like, if I could just teeter on the diving board for a while, I will.
Yeah, I will do the same thing too. But then there's just that point where you're just so angsty. And
yeah,
just
you're
like,
longing
you're like,
for
oh
it.
Oh my God, like I just need this whole shit to change. And that's where like I'm just so fucking tired of this. Like I'm finally going to do it. And I think our culture, we have like an addiction to the angst, that feeling of just like the non-doing and like the self-judgment, that's almost like more satisfying than actually doing the unknown thing on the other side of it. It's like, oh, well, this is familiar. This feels like shit, but I'd rather feel like shit than...
And know what to expect than to experience something new. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I think we think we feel best in what's already known. But taking that step is always really scary.
Yeah. If it's not already like mapped, if you don't have a guarantee, like we want like a guarantee. It's like, oh, I want like 500,000 streams a week. Like, I want that guarantee. And if I don't, I'm not going to make music. Like, that's what a lot of people have in their mind. It's like, I'm only going to do it if you can promise me that this is how many listeners I'm going to have. And this is how many opportunities that are going to come from it. But not operating from like, oh, this is what I feel like doing right now. And I said yes, and I'm not running away from the thing that makes me happy, or at least that that I know challenges me and calls me to like the highest version of myself.
Something that I always instill in, well, myself first, something that I've committed to, is doing what I do for just the pure intrinsic value of doing it. Like, I will make music even if one person listens or if no one listens, because it feels good, and because it's just it's what I know and it's what feels like home to me. But it's also something that I encourage among all of my friends, if they ask, you know, if they solicit it, or but especially among my students, where I'm like, you have to do it because it feels good to do, because you're learning, because you're practicing. It can't be motivated by anything else. And I think that's what creates longevity in your like creative life, is just committing to doing something because it's rewarding intrinsically.
Yeah. Commitment's so freaking difficult to have, like in a lot of different areas of life. The first thing that I ever committed to was my meditation practice at 28, like to where I really actually, like, I played baseball my whole life. So I was like committed to baseball, but like not willing to put in like the work to be great at
something. You've lived so many lives.
Oh my God, like a million. You should see the photos. Like, like, I am definitely at like top version of me, and there's still a long way to go. But yeah, definitely a lot of different lives, shed a lot of layers, literally and figuratively. But yeah, like the commitment thing. And once you, I don't know, once you fully commit to something and realize that it's like, it just goes by day, like that's the whole thing that I wish we all could embrace, is that it's just like, let's just take it one day at a time. Like, what can I do today, like, that's gonna like invest in this portfolio of person, like tomorrow? You're not gonna see the result tomorrow, but then like 5 years from now, you're like, holy shit, like, look at this giant transformation. Well, for you is in like a year and a half, 2 years, but just think, now it's like, okay, outside of the dark cloud, and you're starting to build, and then years go by, and it's just like, oh my gosh, like the growth is like so inspiring to see.
Planting seeds is something that I didn't really understand until I got older, because I was a really obnoxious and precocious kid. Like, a lot of the things that I wanted to do, I would always figure out how to do it. So sometimes, a lot of times, I'd be really good at things at the start. And then I would always hit a plateau, of course, you know, because I was like, well, I'm good at this. And now that I'm not good at it, I'm going to stop.
Sounds like me. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Naturally talented at absolutely everything.
A lot of creative people. Yeah. And it creates this like feeling of impatience as like a kid and a teenager. And you're like, well, I'm doing the work now. I want the instant gratification of it all. And you know, when you're like a little kid and you're like doing things that you deem successful, you expect to be very successful at a very young age, you know? So I'm like 16. I'm like, why am I not a millionaire?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just these like grandiose ways of thinking. And I think once I was, you know, like graduated college, I was like, oh, like my life is, I feel like I have like a brain that I'm in control of now. And my life is now starting to begin. And that means that I have a long journey ahead where I'll be planting a lot of seeds, and I won't be able to reap the benefits or appreciate the fruits of my labor until many years from now. But I think accepting that has made me a lot calmer and more patient.
Yeah, awareness is a beautiful thing. Once you realize it's like, oh, like I'm controlling this ship, and I'm not being swayed as much by like the emotions or other people's opinions. Like, that's a huge one as well. So what are you passionate about outside of music?
I love art. I paint. My dad was also a painter. He's influenced a lot of my hobbies. So I got into oil painting a few years ago. No, actually just at the beginning of the pandemic. I guess it's 2022 now. So yeah, 2 years ago. I really enjoyed doing that because I really like to study things just visually, and to try to recreate what I'm seeing is so satisfying and frustrating. And yeah, so I like doing that. What else do I like to do? What are your hobbies? You playing baseball still?
No baseball. I'm just obsessed with like the process of getting better,
yeah,
and planting my seeds, and just like, how do you create happiness? Like, how do you feel as good as you can every single day? And like tweaking knobs. That's kind of like what I've been really into. But outside of that, like, fitness has been like the main thing recently. It's just like I like my schedule. Like, I'm just like, ooh, like, if I wake up at this time, or if I go to sleep at this time, then I'm going to wake up like this, and then I can go to the gym, and then I can do this, and I can do that. I can take these supplements and make me feel this way. Cause it's like, I don't know. It's just trying to create like the perspective, like change like the tint of the goggles. And it's like, you have all the power, so much power in shifting how you perceive things. So if I can make this podcast turn into a lot of me talking, but if I can like naturally like train myself to instinctually see the good in life, that's a much better way to move through life than to see things, instantly feel a wall go up and judge, rather than to just like trust. And like, I want to just trust that everything's working for me. And it's something that builds over time through experiences and letting my guard down and not being afraid to love and not being afraid to receive love. And how do you create that experience? And I'm trying all these different things, like writing in the morning, like my like most recent solo podcast. Like, I've been writing like every single morning as soon as I get up, like a full page of like affirmations or what's going on, and just whatever comes up is there. And to see like the words follow me into the world and turn into action, and I can kind of there's kind of like this synthesis of experience that goes right back to the page. It's like happening in real time and like bridging that gap. And it's very like personal experience that I'm just trying to like figure out, like, what does it mean that these words are on the paper? And I'm living life and I'm starting to see changes in my personality. That science project of living, of dissecting humanity, is so much fucking fun. And there's still so much, so many levels to unlock. But yeah, it's fun.
Are you the type of person who like tracks progress a lot, like in a physical journal or like on your phone?
No, it's more so like it arrives in like a new experience, like the new experience. And I'll just be like, oh, that was it. Like, I don't need to like, I think I should track it just so I can kind of like document. Cause it's like, I'm very like slow to like list off like accomplishments and things that I've done, which like I should be like, oh yeah, like I did this. Like, I'll casually like mention the things, cause I don't think so greatly of, I don't say don't think greatly, but I just don't, it's just a part of the process. So now it's just like, oh yeah, like I did this, and it's like, oh wow, oh I did this thing too, oh wow. But yeah, maybe I should write down some of these things and say why I'm so great.
Yeah. I think everyone needs to. I had to do that today actually, because I didn't, sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough, and I yeah, especially as like a creative person, you know, every day is a, I think this is like a kind of toxic way of thinking about it, but every day is an opportunity to create or sharpen your skills, or it can be, but it's also really imperative to use those creative days to rest, because that's going to fuel creativity later. But I had a nap today. I had to take a big nap. You did good. Good, good.
Not today, like the last 2 days. Like, I've been in, like I said, I'm in like hermit mode. So I was like, all right, like, in the lull, in the in-between time, it's like what makes me feel good? Like, I need to take these naps. I took like naps those last few days.
My dog is taking naps all day, and I'm like, she knows exactly how to live. Like, you just sleep when you're tired, you know?
With no emotion or guilt attached to it.
Like, the guilt
you gotta unhitch the like the wagon of judgment that you have like from taking time for yourself. Because there's gonna be a like a point like around the corner where it's like go, 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 and right. you can't nap. So you might right. as well like allow yourself that time now.
I think that's also like another complicated part about making your art your life and your business too, is now that you're like when your money becomes contingent on your art, it really changes that relationship. And you're like, if I'm not working on my skills or working on creating something, I'm not working towards being financially independent or stable. Or so I think that's another tricky thing about trying to live your ideal life as a creative person and not getting sucked into this, like turning into like a machine to just like constantly make output and like have nothing reserved for yourself.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of that shit right now. I'm just like, oh my God, where's the next step? Like, I don't want to like look at it like, oh yeah, what can I do right now that's going to turn into instant money, like type of thing. I've never thought like that, like what's going to bring me something right now. But like there's definitely like the pressure to. I think a place where I guess I interact with it on like a healthy level is where I'm reaching out, like when I'm reaching out to somebody and saying like, hey, like, does your, or like, here's my deck with my prices and everything. It's Mental Health Awareness Month. Like, does your organization or does someone in your immediate network, would they find this like beneficial? Like, I'd love to set up a meeting. Just let me know. Even though that is in a sense killing, it's kind of like killing two birds with one stone. It's like, yeah, it's like me like doing the legwork to get the clients that I need to support myself. But it's like, it's calling me to hold space and meditate with people who otherwise don't have a lot of different options to start their practice. So it's hard to navigate.
They don't teach you this.
I'm just like, yo, just like, y'all know my Instagram, like shoot me a DM or whatever. It's like, you know, my email, it's like my website's up, like just fucking find me. And it's like, oh no, there's like this other part of it, like the marketing side of things and Google AdWords and updating everything. And it just, there's a lot more that goes into it than just showing up and doing your thing. And when all you want to do is just show up and be yourself and do your thing.
And do your one job.
Yeah. And it's like, no, you got like 20 jobs. Yeah, yeah. You got 20 jobs. So, do you have any upcoming shows?
I have an event that I'm performing at, but that's closed. So like, not closed, but it's a private event. So, but that is,
sorry, y'all, you can't go.
Sorry, but it's a really cool event. It's called UNAVSA. It's like a Vietnamese Student Association gala event, which I'm excited for because I got to dress up and sing with my band. And there's a Q&A afterwards about, just about me, I guess, and like what it's like to be a Vietnamese American artist. And then I have a show at Kelly's Olympia in August, but this podcast will be up for a long time. So
yeah. Well, what do you have the date yet?
August 20th.
August 20th, Kelly's Olympian, downtown Portland. Be there or be square or a semicircle. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our beautiful listeners?
No, but thank you for your time.
She said no.
No, thank you.
I'm good. Bye.
That's exactly how it would close a conversation.
So where can people find you on the interwebs?
Instagram and Twitter. Maybe don't find me on Twitter. Find me on Instagram.
Problematic.
I just don't post.
10 years ago?
No, I just don't post on Twitter. Twitter is a hard place to be. I think there's a lot of negativity there.
Earth is a hard place to be.
It's true. This is true. I'm very active on Instagram. So TT Music, THY Music.
Oh, well, thank you, TT. Thank you, Jayla.
Thank you, Jayla. And thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. And thank you all for listening to Opening Presents.